to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, February 25th, 2018.
Are setting your minds not on divine things, but on earthly things. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. I believe the words take up our cross have become so familiar that they've lost some of their punch. Our choir wears beautiful crosses on their scapulars for their vestments. Many of us wear crosses as jewelry. There are crosses on churches across this nation and Western Europe and Latin America. And we kind of think, well, yes, the cross, it's a symbol of Christianity. So what? Well, let's cast our minds back to the first time the disciples heard those words. Think about the mighty Roman Empire, which invented the cross. Not as a symbol of Christianity, but as a symbol of humiliation. The mighty Roman Empire could think of no better or worse way to deal with the worst criminals than crucifixion. It was meant to not only inflict terrible suffering and death, but also the worst kind of humiliation. You would be stripped naked and hung up to die in public, most brutal and humiliating possible punishment. So it's no surprise then that when Jesus says, take up your cross, Peter says, no, don't go there. We thought this was about gaining status and privilege. You're going to be the King of Kings, and we're going to be with you all the way. James and John want to sit on your right and left hand, and I want to be right there with you all the way. And Jesus says, right there with me means humiliation. What if we said, take up our cross, and we meant take up our humiliation, take up our torture, take up our punishment, take up our death? How on earth can we do that? Do we even want to do that? The only way it's possible, St. Paul tells us, is through the gift of faith. It's not humanly possible to do that. It makes no earthly sense to abandon our lives, our possessions, our privilege in order to follow Jesus. But with faith, things are different. The world looks upside down. Paul points us back to the patriarch Abraham, the ancestor of all those who believe, the father of faith. Abram, who left his home in Ur because God told him to, because he believed God, because he was willing to trust the promise, which was repeated when he was 99 years old, when his wife was proven to be barren, when he was as good as dead, then God said, you're going to have a son. In fact, you're going to have so many descendants, they're going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore or the stars in heaven. From you will proceed royalty. He was a nobody, and his descendants were going to be royalty. This made no earthly sense. It was impossible. There was no way this was going to happen. And yet, Abram trusted God and believed, and the promise was fulfilled. And Abram's yes to God bore incredible fruit. Not only the birth of Isaac, not only the patriarchs of Israel and the whole Jewish nation, but eventually Jesus and the promise of salvation for all human beings, because Abram had faith? How do we have faith? Where do we look to for examples to take up our cross? You know, we spend a lot of our lives and a lot of our energy worrying not about divine things, but really human things. It's natural. It's normal. We're trusted with human things and earthly things. We're supposed to. But count up, if you would, just in your minds, the number of hours that you've spent worrying about money or worrying about schoolwork or homework or where you're going to get into college or whether you'll make a team or whether you can afford to retire or what's going to happen with your children or your grandchildren or your own health. Add up all those hours of worry about stuff that in the end you can really do very little about. And contrast them with the amount of effort focused on following Jesus and taking up your cross. We have many examples of what that can look like, and I think it's different for every person. Jesus didn't ask everyone to take up the same cross or to follow him in exactly the same way. Not everyone was meant to be a martyr. Although it's ironic that Peter, who said no, who rebuked Jesus, and then later denied Jesus three times, Peter actually did follow Jesus to the literal cross, died of crucifixion by the same Roman soldiers. Maybe not the literal same soldiers, but you get the idea. But others have followed Jesus in different ways. This week, we lost one of the great articulators of the Christian faith, Billy Graham. Also 99, right? Same age as Abram. Billy Graham, who, while I may have disagreed with his theology on several points, I cannot think of a better spokesperson for the essence of the Christian faith. Someone who was able to take the Christian faith and distill it to its essence and proclaim it with incredible power to millions and millions of people. I went to his crusade in New York City in the late 80s, 30 years ago, and I was inspired by his simple, homespun, yet powerful way of following Jesus. For Billy Graham, taking up the cross meant sacrificing time with his family and maybe his dreams of having a parish of his own to travel the world with his crusades. For him, it was in many ways a sacrifice. He had to create rules to protect his marriage and his family and his own ego from the amazing adulation that he received. He was able to inspire presidents. And even I was watching The Crown, even Queen Elizabeth I, a young Billy Graham who met with a young Queen Elizabeth so long ago to offer her counsel at a dark time. Billy Graham carried his cross, and so have many others. Another preacher whom Billy Graham invited to preach with him on one occasion, Martin Luther King Jr., whose way of taking up his cross was to challenge the systems of oppression and racial hatred and to lead a movement for civil rights in this country, proclaiming and rooting that struggle in the gospel, in the Old Testament, in the struggle of the Israelites to escape slavery in Egypt, and inspired a nation and the world. So many others. Think of Mother Teresa. Her cross was to give up her life of education and privilege to go to the poorest of the poor, the most miserable place on earth at the time, Calcutta, to minister with the Sisters of Mercy in that city with those who had no hope, the untouchables, and to spend her life. All of these people had their doubts. Billy Graham wrestled with his faith. It's hard to imagine that, but he did. Martin Luther King Jr. struggled with his path at many points. Mother Teresa endured long years of doubt in her struggle to serve God and to take up her cross, and yet with faith they were able to do it, and it made such a difference. I was inspired recently also by the example of one teacher at the school in Parkland, Florida, Aaron Fife, I think his name was, a coach and a teacher and one of the staff at the school who was tasked with security. When he heard over the intercom that there was a situation, he, unlike some others, did not run away from the shooting, but towards it, and protected students with his body, laying down his life for those children and dying, I believe, a martyr. He, in that moment of decision, had the faith to take up his cross and to follow Jesus. So what is our path? Hopefully, if we're lucky, not martyrdom or terrible suffering. Maybe our path is to persist even in the midst of our doubts, to minister to those around us, to see the need in our families and communities and in the world. What we do know is that that faith needs to be nurtured. It's not that we can ever escape doubt, but it's that with feeding and care, our faith can grow and mature. We need each other for examples and support. Those who stand up with us on Sunday to say the Nicene Creed and to pray the prayers of the church. People that we can work and minister with in our various ministries within the church and in the community. We need to be fed and nurtured by the scriptures, hearing and reading the Bible and being renewed by those stories. We need the history of the church. I hope you are playing Lent Madness, which is our Lenten game of learning more about the saints. There are booklets by the front door if you didn't get one. It's a showdown every day between two of the saints of the church, and you can vote online. But what I am gaining from that is a deeper appreciation of how different people in different ages have all found ways to take up their cross. And finally, we are fed each week by the body and blood of Jesus himself, who walked his lonely path to the cross so that we would never be alone when we take up our cross and follow him. As we receive his body and blood in the Eucharist, we are strengthened once again to do what we can, where we can, for as long as we can. To paraphrase once more, Billy Graham. We give thanks for his witness, witness of all the saints who have gone before us, the witness of those in this church and those in our families who have inspired us, and we pray that God will continue to give us the grace to daily take up our cross and follow him.